Bibles and turn to Deuteronomy chapter 15. If you did not bring a Bible, the Pew Bible, I'll be preaching out of a Pew Bible this morning. It is on page 159 of the Pew Bible. We're going to be talking about God's laws of generosity this morning. The Bible tells us that God wanted his people to be prosperous. God wanted his people to live an abundant life. We are in Deuteronomy chapter 15, again, in the Pew Bible, page 159. We're going to read through the chapter, Deuteronomy chapter 15. I'm going to explain it to you. Generosity. God knows that one of the keys to abundant living is us having a generous heart. And God, in this passage of Scripture, talks to his people about being generous. He speaks to those that are creditors. He talks to the average person who sees poor people. He talks to people who are employers. And he speaks to all of us about being generous. We're going to look at that in detail. God has been generous to us. We need to recognize that. God has been generous to me. I have seen the generosity of God in my life just this morning. Now, look, this morning when I came to the platform, I love candy corn. And I don't like just normal candy corn. I like Brock's candy corn. I don't get any kind of commission off this. This is the best candy corn that's ever been made on the planet. Now, I've not been everywhere on the planet, but this is good stuff. And I just was so thankful. When somebody gave me that this morning, that is a giving spirit. But I didn't just get one. I got two bags of candy corn. That's generosity. Can you say amen to that? And you don't get any of it because that's called greediness. There's a difference between being greedy and being generous. God wants us to be a generous people. God wants us to be a people that live to give. God wants us to have that. Throughout the Scriptures in the New Testament, you can see that God gave. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave. He is a generous, giving, loving God. His love gave for us Jesus Christ, who came to this earth and suffered and died and paid the penalty of our sin. He was buried 3 days later, rose from the dead, was seen by hundreds of people, and went back to heaven. Because of the love of God, we get to go to heaven. Because of his generosity. The Bible says he made himself poor that we could be made rich. He is generous. He took his riches, gave them to us. He was poor, hanging on a cross, and he gave us eternal life. That is the goodness of God. That is the graciousness of God. That is the generosity of God. In Deuteronomy chapter 15, God is speaking to his people, his Old Testament people, the nation of Israel. He says, I want you to have an abundant life, and that starts with having a heart of generosity. And so we're going to look at that this morning. Before we do, let's pray and ask God to lead us through this study. Father, I pray that you'd teach us from your word. I pray that, Father, our hearts would understand that your blessings come upon our life as we live with a heart of generosity. God, I pray that you'd help us to be generous to those who know us, and Father, those that we come in contact with. Help us to have a generous heart. And Father, I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Yesterday, I had the opportunity of going to North Las Vegas. I was invited to come and speak to a group that deals with domestic violence. When I was there, I didn't speak to the group, actually. I was just invited to pray. And if somebody invites me to pray, I normally check out the references to find out who's all going to be invited. I didn't this time. I just asked Faith, because I was out of town, said, I need to make sure that I can pray to whoever I want to about whatever I want to and make sure of that. And they said, oh, that would be fine. I did not know that I was going to a place that was going to deal with, that was actually sponsored by Sung Young Moon. And so I wound up there. But so I was a little bit out of my element. Can you say amen to that? That's not exactly where I would fit in. But I found some very genuine people and some very nice people who care about domestic violence. And I was taken from photograph to photograph. There was a gallery of photographs of people who had been, who had suffered domestic violence. I looked at a little boy in a casket who had died by domestic violence. I looked at I looked into the faces of people, a woman who had been shot by her husband, and her face had been blown off and rebuilt, suffering domestic violence. I talked to another lady who had been shot in the head, suffering from domestic violence. I looked at photograph after photograph after photograph, very, very graphic photographs of people who had suffered domestic violence. And quite frankly, I'm very glad that somebody is doing something to make people aware of the needs that are out there, because I am very much separated from that. And as I walked through there, I thought, God, you have been so good to me. You have been so wonderful to me. I left there and I went over to the Salvation Army. When I was at the Salvation Army, I talked to a transient over there who had no place to live. He was there at the Salvation Army to get help. And I left there and I thought, God, you've been good to me. You've been good to me. That was right down the street from where I grew up. So I drove over to the trailer park that I lived in from the time I was... from the time I was 14 years old to the time I went to college at 18 years of age. And I saw where God had brought me from, and I said, Lord, you have been good to me. You have been generous to me. You've allowed me to have so much. I drove through my old neighborhood, and I thought, God, you are so generous. God is generous. If God's been generous to you, would you say amen?
Amen.
Listen, if you drove to church today, God's been generous to you. Say, well, I hardly made it here. Listen, God's been generous to you. If you had breakfast this morning, God's been generous to you. If you ate dinner yet last night, God's been generous to you. If you have clothes to wear, God's been generous to you. God has taken care of you and God has blessed you. And we need to be thankful for the good things that God has given to us. I've been all over the world. I've had the opportunity of talking to people and being in places that I never thought in my wildest imagination I'd ever be. God has been more than generous to me. And I always think this. I think I'm nothing but a dumb kid. My dad died when I was 10 years old. I was raised by a single parent, a wonderful, godly woman. But we had nothing. There was no reason in the world for me to be able to do the things that I've done. I've got a wonderful family, but we didn't have much. Fact of the matter is, God has just been generous. And God wants us to be generous. Because of his goodness to us, he wants us to be generous to others. And that's not just for our day. That was true in the Old Testament. God spoke to his people, Israel. He said, I'm taking you into this land. I'm going to give you this land. And I'm going to be generous to you, and so therefore I want you to be generous with each other. He knew that when they went into the land, some would have different abilities than others. Some would take the land and prosper. Others would not have that kind of ability, and they may lose their land. He knew some would become rich. He knew some would become poor. He knew some would become borrowers. Others would become lenders. He knew some would own lots of land. Others would wind up selling or leasing or renting their land or getting rid of their land. So he made provisions for everyone. And he comes to Deuteronomy chapter 15. In Deuteronomy chapter 15, he begins to deal with what he calls the year of release. Let's look at verse 1. Let me explain this. He is going to deal with someone who has lent money to another person in order for them to buy materials for their land and build and raise crops. It's a very agricultural society. The creditor has lent money to somebody. Maybe you own 30 acres of land, and you're going to go out and you're going to farm that land, but you need the money to buy the crops, or you've borrowed money on your land. You've mortgaged your land. And but there's certain laws. There are certain laws in Israel. And the laws are this, that every seventh year, the land must have rest. So if you're a farmer and you have farmed every year for 6 years, when at the end of the year, your crops come in, You get the money for your crops. Then you go and you pay the person you owe the money to. You pay your creditor. You do that at the end of the first year. You do that at the end of the second year. When the crops come in, you harvest the crops. You take at the end of the third year and you pay your creditor. You do that at the end of the fourth year. You do that at the end of the fifth year. You do that at the end of the sixth year. You take your money and you go and you pay your creditor. You got a problem, however, in the seventh year. And I'll tell you why. Because in Leviticus chapter 25, God gave a law. And he said, according to the law, it's called the law of the Sabbath year's rest. At the end of 7 years, or at the seventh year, you're not allowed to work your land. You're not allowed to harvest your crops. You're not allowed to take the fruits and the vegetables. You're not allowed to shear your sheep. You're not allowed to do any of that. For 1 year, the land is supposed to rest. And so you have nothing, you have no money coming in at the end of that year to go and pay your creditor. Now, a creditor can come along and say, hey, it's the end of the seventh year. You need to pay me. And then you're sitting there saying, well, wait a minute. God said I couldn't work the crops for the last year, so I have nothing to pay you with. And the creditor says, well, then the land is mine. God said, I don't want that to happen. I don't want you to take advantage of the system. I don't want you to take advantage of your brothers who cannot pay you at the end of the seventh year. Well, maybe at the end of the sixth year, they should have doubled up the payment. But he said, no, I want you to be generous. And at the end of the seventh year, I want you to release it. I want you, actually the word release, and we'll read this in just a minute, is to let it go. You let it go. You let go that seventh year income. You be generous to the person that owes you money. Some people will read this and say that this actually meant to totally release them from their debt. That cannot be, because the Bible also tells us in Leviticus chapter 25, the law of the year of Jubilee. The year of Jubilee is when every piece of land went back to its original owner. And so this cannot be speaking about this. What this is saying, very simply, and we'll see it, and I'll read it in just a minute, is that at the end of this seventh year period, you have to let go. If this person can't pay you, you just let it go. It's a year of release. This is not a law of irresponsibility, saying, hey, you can be irresponsible. This is a law of generosity, and we need to look at it from that. Now, let's take a look at the law. It says this: at the end of every 7 years, that's when they would make their payment, thou shalt make a release. And this is the manner of the release. Every creditor that lendeth aught unto his neighbor shall release it. He shall not exact it of his neighbor or of his brother, because it is called the Lord's release. So at the end of that 7 year period, somebody comes along and says, you owe me money for this year's rent, this year's mortgage, whatever. The guy says, well, it's the year of release. The creditor is supposed to say, you're free. You do not have to pay this debt that you owe me. Of a foreigner, thou mayest exact it again, but that which is thine with thy brother, thine hand shall release. He's talking about your brother, the Israelite brother. Except, that is, when there shall be no poor among you. If there's no poor, and if everybody has the same amount, and you're all lifted up and you've all been blessed, then you don't have to have that release. If everybody's doing as well as you are, then you don't have to release them. Save when there be no poor among you, for the Lord shall greatly bless thee. Now, why does he say that? He says, because the Lord's going to greatly bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Jehovah God is going to give you. Jesus is going to give you give you this land for an inheritance to possess it, and it's going to be greatly blessed. Only if thou carefully hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God to observe to do all these commandments which I command thee this day. For the Lord thy God blesseth thee as he promised thee, and thou shalt lend unto many nations, but thou shalt not borrow, and thou shalt reign over many nations, but they shall not reign over thee. So he says, listen, generosity law number one. Number one, be generous to your debtors. Be generous to your debtors. He said, now God's going to bless you in the land. God is going to bless you when you go into the land. And there may be a time where everybody's doing well, and there are no poor in the land because you have obeyed my commandments, and you have obeyed my commandments to such an extent that I have blessed the land, and the land is prosperous because of my blessing. And then if it's okay, you can exact what they owe you because you're borrowing and lending to one another, and that's okay in that case. But if that's not the case, then you need to understand that what I want you to do is I want you to be generous to those who are indebted to you. If you've lent money to somebody, I want you to forgive them that debt. For that year, you just let it go by, because I want them to be able to obey the law of the Sabbath, the Sabbath year's rest. I want to be able to take care of them. You see, God has provided a year of rest. God provided a way for them to obey. But in order for that to take place, God's provision required obedience from the creditor and from the one who is in debt. God doesn't want us to be irresponsible. God, if we sign up to pay a debt, God wants us to be able to pay that debt, and he will provide. And he will also watch out for us so that we can do that which he wants us to do. But here, he's specifically speaking to the one who is owed money. It's so easy to get offended with somebody who owes you something and have bitterness in your heart towards them forever. I know friends that are no longer friends because of indebtedness. I know brothers who will not speak to brothers because of indebtedness. I know families that are torn apart because somebody had a piece of property and somebody took the inheritance and they got it all and we didn't get it and we didn't get any, and there's fighting and bickering over material things. And I want you to know, brethren, these things ought not so to be. Can you say amen to that? Look, Jesus said this in teaching us how to pray. He said, pray this way. Our Father collectively, who art in heaven, let your name be holy in our lives, in the church. Let your kingdom come within the church. Let your will be done within the church in this earth, just like it's done in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Give us everything we need to do your will. And then he says, forgive us our sins as we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. He later says in Matthew that if we forgive not others their trespasses, how will our Heavenly Father forgive us our trespasses? It's a very serious thing to hold someone in debt, to hold somebody in debt. As I began to understand these principles, I told the Lord, Lord, I want you to know, and I tell him this all the time, I want you to know, nobody owes me a thing. And I want to thank you for your goodness to us. We ought to understand this, that God wants us to be generous towards those that are in debt. The greatest example of that was when Jesus Christ came to this earth. We owed him everything. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. What we earned for our sin was spiritual death. What you earn for your sin. You see, the Bible says every one of us are sinners. The Bible says every one of us deserve to go to hell. Every one of us deserve to be separated from God forever. You say, not me. Yes, you too. You deserve to go to hell. You deserve to be separated from God. The Bible says you're a sinner. The Bible says because of your sin, you deserve to go to hell. But the Bible says that God loves you and he loves me in spite of the fact that we are all sinners. And he loved us so much that he, who had given us everything, we owe him everything. He loved us so much that he came to this earth and he suffered and he died a horrible, agonizing death to pay for your sin and my sin, to release us from our debt. He died. He paid our sin debt for us. He was buried. 3 days later, he rose from the dead. He went back to heaven after being seen by hundreds of people. The Bible says now, all I have to do to get saved is come to him who I owe everything. Come to him and say, Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I know I deserve to go to hell. But I know you paid for my sin debt. And I want to receive what you did for me. And the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Can you say amen to that? That is the great thing. The wonderful thing is, I'm going to heaven not because I'm good enough, not because I've earned it. The fact is, I'm a debtor. I deserve to go to hell. But Jesus Christ died for me, was buried, rose from the dead for me. And if I call on him, I can go to heaven. That's a wonderful thing. He is generous to his debtors. He gives us eternal life, gives us a free home in heaven. And he wants us to be the same towards those who are indebted to us. Forgive them their debts. Here he says to the Israelites, look, when you go into the land and you get to a position where you've prospered and others are indebted to you, don't you keep them from enjoying the Sabbath rest that I have for them. Don't you force them to do something contrary to the word of God. You need to understand, when the Sabbath year comes, it's a year of release. And at the end of that year, don't you try to make them pay for the land that I've told them to let steal for a year. Be generous to your debtors. He goes on in verse 7 and says, number 2, be generous to the poor. Let's read what he says. He says, if there be among you a poor man, one of thy brethren within any of thy gates, in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. That is, for us, that would be within the church. Thou shalt not harden thine heart, nor shut thine hand from thy poor brother. When you see somebody who has less than you, when you see somebody who's in need, don't say in your heart, well, they need to work. Oh, they should get 2 jobs. Or don't you say in your heart, oh, well, they're poor because they're irresponsible. Don't you say in your heart, well, they just have bad habits. Who wants to be around them? Don't you say that in your heart, because that's what the devil wants us to do. Look at somebody that has a need and look beyond their need and see their fault. God doesn't want us to see their fault. God wants us to see their need. Can you say amen to that? There are people from all different backgrounds that will come into this church. God wants us to see not their fault, but God wants us to see their need. Now, God doesn't want us, we'll see that in just a minute, God doesn't want us to enable people to sin. He doesn't want us to enable people to be lazy. He doesn't want us to enable people to drink. He doesn't want us to enable people to gamble. He doesn't want us to enable people to sin away what we give to them. God doesn't want us to enable those who do wrong. But he does want us to be generous to the poor. Look at this specifically. If there be any among you a poor man of thy brethren within thy gates in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not harden thine heart nor shut up thy hand from thy poor brother. Look what he says. But thou shalt open thy hand wide unto him, and thou shalt surely lend him sufficient for his need in that which he wanteth. Not just his need, but what he wants. Open your hand wide. When you open your hand wide, they can get it all. Look, here's my candy corn. Here's my candy corn. You see this? It's a little hole here. So just in case somebody says, I'd like a candy corn, only a little pieces come out. God said, look, this is what I want you to do. Open it up wide. This is a terrible thing. Now you pour it all comes out. That's a terrible thing. God said, I want you to open the thing up wide. Boy, I want to eat those right now. Stay. Open up wide. Pass it out. Listen, I would not eat candy corn except it's a vegetable. And it's you're supposed to have 5 fruits and 5 vegetables a day. And corn is good for you. Anyway, I know some of you are thinking, It's really starch, but it's corn. And my mother said it was a vegetable. So he says, look, I don't want you to be greedy about this. I want you to open your hand wide. Now look. Look in verse 8. But thou shalt open thine hand wide unto him, and shalt surely lend him sufficient. Look at the word lend. And thou shalt surely lend him sufficient for his need in that which he wanteth. God is not against lending to the poor. The idea is this. He wants to build responsibility into us. He doesn't want us to promote irresponsibility. So he says, beware, verse 9. This goes back to the year of release. Beware that thou be not, beware that there not be a thought in thy wicked heart. He tells us our hearts are wicked. Isn't it amazing? He knows us so well. Saying the seventh year, the year of release is at hand, and thine eye be evil against thy brother, and thou givest him not, and he cry unto the Lord against thee, and it be sin unto thee. Surely thou shalt give him, and thine heart shall not be grieved when thou givest unto him. Now, let's stop right there. He says this. Look, you know this law. This law, the first year he has to pay you back. Second year he has to pay you back. Third year he has to pay you back. Fourth year he has to pay you back. Fifth year he has to pay you back. Sixth year he has to pay you back. But the guy comes to you in November of the sixth year. And he says, hey, I need some money now. Well, now you know that you got a year and 2 months before the guy has to pay. I mean, at the year and 2 months, he doesn't have to. He's got 2 years and 2 months. I got to go 2 years before I get this back. Don't, he says, don't say, oh, man, it's November of this year, and it's going to be 2 years. It's going to be 2 years before I get anything out of this guy. Don't you have that evil heart and say, I'm not going to do anything for him. Because you know what he's going to do? He's going to go to God and say, God, that guy's got all sorts of stuff, and I need this. I need it, and I need it now. And he's going to talk to me, God says, about it. And when he talks to me about it, I'm going to be upset with you because you didn't take care of your brother. God says, don't you be having an evil heart. Don't let your evil heart say to you, nope, it's the sixth year. I'm not going to get this money back. I'm not going to get it. Don't think I'll never get it back. Don't, and then he says, don't be grieved in giving it to him. Oh man, he knew it. That guy knows it's November. That guy knows he's coming to me now because he knows there's going to be a whole year and then another whole year before I get anything from him. He knows it. He knows it. You get those credit card things in the mail that say no zero interest rate for the next 8 months. And you say, oh, I'll try it. And you don't read that part that says 3% fee, and then you get this big fee. But you get those things, you say, hey, I'm going to take advantage of that. This guy's thinking, he's taking advantage of me. He's taking advantage of me. And he says, I'm not going to give it to him. I'm not going to give it. Look, you don't think about that, God says. God, don't say in your evil heart, this guy has needs and he's taking advantage of me. Don't you think that in your evil heart. Now again, I don't think God wants us to enable people to do that which is wrong. But God doesn't want us also to every time we see somebody with need, think I got to protect myself, I got to watch out for myself. Jesus didn't watch out for himself. Jesus didn't protect himself. Jesus went to the cross and he gave it all and died and suffered so that you could have eternal life. The Bible says in his poverty, we were made rich. God wants us to have a heart of generosity towards those that are poor. Now, let me back up and say this too. I have had people say to me, well, Pastor, I had nothing to get my wife because I gave it to this person, I gave it to that person. Or I had nothing to give to my children because I gave it to that person or gave it to this person. Giving in the Word of God is always in accordance to priority. You need to understand, if you're going to be generous first to your wife. If you're going to be generous, then be generous to your children. And if you're going to be generous to those that God brings into your life. He's speaking to these people within the confines of Israel. He would be speaking to those within the confines of the church. You don't rob from one person to give to somebody else. You don't neglect the love of a person in order to give to somebody else. I had a preacher's kid when he was an adult said, you know, every day, all the time, he said, we had transients living in our house. And they would eat the food. And my dad used to say, I'm sorry, we don't have anything tonight because we gave it all away. That's not what God wants. That's a perversion of God's thinking. You need to think right. You have a Bible. Dr. Bill always says, you have a Bible and you have a brain. Think. All right? Think. God's word tells us not to neglect the poor, but he doesn't say neglect your family to feed the poor. Your family, God doesn't want you to make your family poor. Now you say, if you're going to neglect somebody, neglect yourself. You got to buy him a hamburger, you only have money for 4 hamburgers, then you buy him, give him your hamburger, and give you 3 hamburgers to your wife and kids. You understand what I'm saying? It's very, very important. Beware that there be not a thought in thy wicked heart, saying, the 7th year, the year of release is at hand, and thine eye be evil against thy poor brother, and thou givest him not, and he cry unto the Lord against thee, and it be sin unto thee. This guy's crying unto the Lord because if you've got it, but you're not doing. Then it says in verse 10, thou shalt surely give him. Now listen to this. This is wonderful. Thou shalt surely give him, and thine heart shall not be grieved. Don't be given him without a generous heart. Look, in the New Testament, Paul says, God loveth a cheerful giver. So don't let your heart be grieved when thou givest unto him, because that for this thing the Lord thy God shall bless thee in all thy works and in all that thou puttest thy hand unto. He said, look, you give to meet the needs of other people, and God's going to take care of your needs for this thing, for this giving to the poor. People will ask me, and I want you to know, this church is one of the most generous churches that I know of. And I don't say that just because I'm the pastor. I'm saying this because you give. I can say to this church, we want to raise money, and we will in a little while. In a few months, we will be talking about raising money to pay off the building debt. And when we do that, people will give. And there was over $200,000 that was committed last year to giving to pay off our building debt. And I thank the Lord for that. But when I stand up in June and I say, okay, we're raising money for missionaries. We're going to take care of orphans in Mexico. We're going to take care of orphans in Tibet. We're going to help people in Africa. We're going to send missionaries around the world to people who haven't got the gospel. When I talked to you about that in June, you guys gave $440,000 to missionaries, to people around the world. Well, I want you to understand that God blesses a church that cares about other people. Can you say amen to that? Amen. This church, people say, do you worry about what's going to happen to our church with the economy? No. No, I don't. Because I know this church gives to missionaries. This church gives to the poor. This church pours out to other ministries and gives to other ministries all the time. This church is a generous church. And when the church is, when there's a generous church, God is going to bless that church. Can you say amen to that? Amen. I don't worry about my personal finances because years ago, God taught me about tithing. God taught me about faith promise giving. God taught me about giving by grace. And God has taken care of us. God has supplied our needs. God will take care of our needs. We have so much more than we deserve to have. God has blessed, you know, in a wonderful, wonderful way. The Bible tells us that we need to be generous to the poor. God says very simply, he gives that promise. If you mark in your Bible, that is a promise that you ought to circle and mark. Because that for this thing, you say, what if I give to somebody and they misuse the money? I may give and it may be misused. I want you to understand, you give to Liberty Baptist Church, you're giving to people that make mistakes, and we've not been perfect. We're not perfect in everything we do, but this church cares about people and ministers to missionaries and ministers to other preachers, and we help preachers, and sometimes those preachers turn out to be flakes. We help people all over the country, all over the world. We do that, and because of that, the Bible says, and because because that for this thing, the Lord, that is Jehovah, that is Jesus, thy God, the one that's in control of it all, shall bless thee. He's going to be generous to thee for all thy works. For your generosity, God's going to be generous to you. When you're generous to other people, God will be generous to you. I want you to understand this. God can be more generous than you can be. Can you say amen to that? God can be more generous than you. So God says, you be generous to others, I'll be generous to you. Be generous to the poor. Then it says in verse 11, For the poor shall never cease out of thy land. Therefore I command thee, saying, thou shalt open thy hand wide. He says it the second time. Open thy hand wide unto thy brother, to thy poor, and to thy needy in thy land. You make sure that you have a generous heart towards the poor. That's not all. Then he speaks to employees. Now, we need to understand that in their culture, slavery was a normal thing. Slavery, we don't think of it. We think of it differently in our culture than they did back then. Slavery was indenturing yourself to somebody for a matter of years. And God's going to regulate it here. God's going to regulate it. He's going to tell them very simply, I delivered you from slavery in Egypt, and now I don't want you to put your brothers and sisters in under slavery. What I want you to do is we're going to limit it, we're going to restrict it, and we're going to regulate it so that people are treated fairly. And so we would compare that today with being generous to our employee, or to somebody who is working for you. Look what it says. Let's take a look at it. He says in verse 12, and if thy brother, an Hebrew man or a Hebrew woman, be sold unto thee. And by the way, that would happen because somebody from a foreign land would bring a Hebrew slave in and sell them to somebody else. Or that would happen because a man had been irresponsible with his possessions, and he got to a position where he had nothing left to sell, so he sold himself to somebody to get rid of eliminate his debt. And then in doing that, the man who bought him from himself and eliminated his debt, now he takes him and he sells him to another brother. So here he's in a situation where this guy owns a Hebrew brother. And if thy brother, a Hebrew man or a woman, be sold unto thee, and he serve thee 6 years, then in the seventh year thou shalt let him go free from thee. And when thou sendest him out free from thee, thou shalt not let him go away empty. Thou shalt furnish him liberally out of thy flocks and out of thy floor and out of the winepress of that wherewith the Lord thy God hath blessed thee. Thou shalt give unto him. Thou shalt remember that thou wast a bondman in the land of Egypt, and the Lord, that is Jehovah Jesus, thy God, redeemed thee. Therefore I command thee this thing today. And it shall be, if he say unto thee, I will not go away from thee, because he loveth thee and thine house, because he is well with thee. He says, hey, I don't want to leave. I don't want to be let go. Then thou shalt take an awl and thrust it through his ear unto the door, and he shall be thy servant forever, and also unto thy handmaid, or to thy maidservant, thou shalt do likewise. It shall not be seem hard to thee when thou sendest him away free from thee, for he hath been worth a double hired servant to thee in serving thee 6 years, and the Lord thy God shall bless thee in all that thou doest. Now, what's that talking about? It's talking about being generous to your employee. He says, look, this guy's worked for you. This guy comes and he works for you for 6 years. He is a diligent worker. He's helped you. He's helped you during these 6 years. The first year, he's helped you with your crops. The second year, he's helped you with the crops. The third year, he's helped you with the crops. The fourth year, he's helped you with... He's done everything. He's been there. He's been faithful. He's been serving. He's doing all these things. You're reaping the benefit of his hard work. You're taking care of him. He's taking care of you. He said, listen, and you make sure when it comes to the end of that sixth year and the seventh year, the land, the Sabbath rest is taking place. And you, during the next year, you can't harvest your crops anyway. What you need to do is be generous to this guy. You need to let him go free. But don't just say, okay, you're out on your own. Goodbye. Boom. Get out. You let him go free, and you give him all the crops that he's going to need. And you give him the flocks, the herds, so he can get started himself, so he can start his own business, so he can be successful. He's helped make you successful. Now you have a responsibility to help make him successful. You help him. You help him get started. You give him the food he needs. You give him the drink that he needs. You give him the flocks that he needs. You give him everything and get him started right. Be generous to your employees. Man, if our culture would just adopt this, it would be wonderful. And I'm not talking about slavery, of course. I'm saying if we would adopt this idea that management is going to be generous and that the employees are going to be generous, and we have this idea of generosity one towards another, how different it would be. We wouldn't, people complain about labor unions. You wouldn't need labor unions if you had management who were just generous to their employees. Can you say amen to that? And we wouldn't have the fighting back and forth. We wouldn't have to have all the things in our culture that we need if we would just learn to be generous. We live in a culture today that demands its rights. I'm going to have this. This is mine. This is mine. This is mine. And that happens because of a lack of generosity on the part of others. What we need to do as Christians is determine that we're going to be, as employees, I'm going to be generous towards my employer. I'm going to give them everything I can. I'm going to work and work and work to make my employer a success. And employees and employers need to have the attitude, I'm going to do everything I can to make to take care of my employees, to make them happy, and to help them succeed and go farther than where I have gone. That's the idea. Dave Thomas of Wendy's, that started the Wendy's chain. Before he worked for Wendy's, he worked for Kentucky Fried Chicken and Colonel Sanders. Colonel Sanders was a Christian man and built a wonderful empire and learned how to do what he needed to do in the chicken business. And Dave Thomas learned from him. And there was no competition. He just left and began his own thing. That's the idea that's here. And he's successful because of what he learned under Colonel Sanders. The idea, very simply, is this. And by the way, if you're young here, there really was a Colonel Sanders. Pastor Shore was alive and met him and worked for him. And be generous to your employees. Be generous. Let your servants enjoy. The idea here is this. Let your servants enjoy their Sabbath rest. Don't be stingy with them. Give him money and material gain. Get him started in his own business. Give him food. Give him drink. Give him everything that he needs. And don't be grieved. Don't be grieved when he says, I want to go. I want to go away. Send him away and encourage him and encourage him to do what you've helped him to do. Don't be grieved. Give him everything that he deserves. So God has told us so far that we need to be generous with our debtors. We need to be generous to the poor. We need to be generous with our employees. The last thing he says is, I want you to be generous to me. Look what it says in verse 19. He gives him the law of giving of the first fruits. It says, all the firstling males that come of thy herd and of thy flocks, thou shalt sanctify them unto the Lord, that is Jehovah Jesus, thy God. Thou shalt do no work with the firstlings of thy bullocks, nor shear the firstlings of thy sheep. I want you to take your firstlings of your flocks. I want you to give them to me. I want you to give me the firstlings of the bullocks. I want you to give me the firstlings of the sheep. I want you to bring them and sacrifice them to me in the tabernacle. That's what I want you to do. Thou shalt eat it before the Lord thy God year by year in the place which the Lord shall choose, and thou and thine household. So the first year comes along. First year comes along. You, at the end of the year, you've got your crops. The first, you don't pay your creditor with that. You don't pay anybody else. You take that first animal and you take it and you march it to the tabernacle. You and your family go to the tabernacle. And he said, I want you to sacrifice that to me. But I want you to, at that time, I want you to have it killed, sacrifice it to me, then I want you to eat of it with me in my presence. This was not a harsh law. God was saying, I'm going to bountifully bless you. I want you to come with the blessings that I've come, recognize that I'm the one that's given it to you, and I want you to worship with me in my house and let us celebrate the blessings that you've had through my giving to you. Be generous to the Lord. Be generous to the Lord. He says, give the first things, first of everything. Everything you have, the very first. And by the way, that ought to be the way it is. Jesus said it this way, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you. You just seek me first. You be generous to me. Celebrate with me in the tabernacle. Don't give. Oh, look at what he says. This is very important too. He says, verse 21, and if there be any blemish therein, the first calf that comes out is blemished, as if it be lame. It's lame, or it's blind, or it have an ill blemish. It just doesn't look good. Thou shalt not sacrifice it unto the Lord thy God. If it's blemished, put it aside, get the second one, and that'll be the first one. Don't bring me something that's junk. God said, I don't want you to bring me your junky stuff. I want you to give me your good stuff. Oh, let's see. We're getting rid of our garage. We're cleaning out our garage, and hey, there's a bunch of junk. What should we do with it? Take it to the church. That's what God does not want you to do. God wants you to bring the nice car to the church. God wants you to give your very best to him. You say, why? Because he gave his very best for you. Can you say amen to that? The Bible says he gave his only begotten son. He gave you his very best, and he wants you to honor him with your very best. Be generous to the Lord. God is generous to us. God wants us to have an abundant life, and he knows that the abundant life comes through us learning generosity. Generosity to our debtors, generosity to the poor, generosity to our employees, and generosity to the Lord and his work. Help us to be generous. Let's pray. Father, I pray you'd help us to be a generous people. I pray you'll help us to take the truth that we've heard here and apply it to our lives. I thank you for teaching your children Israel, and I thank you for how we can apply it to us as your children today in your church. Help us to do these things that we might have your abundance in our life. And Father, I ask this in your name, the name of Jesus Christ.